This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, happy Monday, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Lisa Wysocki from Nashville, Tennessee, and you are listening to Horses in the Morning on Horse Radio Network for April 17, episode 1678. This episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
Monday, Monday, can't trust that day.
I didn't know.
Well, it's your fault, so...
Behind our masks, we're perfectly ordinary people.
And now, our perfectly unordinary host, Jamie Jennings.
Really? Just remember, my friend, that payback can happen.
And Glenn the Geek.
I'd have to get new tights.
Well, unlike that bumper, we don't have Jamie Jennings today. She is out. She is traveling back to Monty Roberts after going home for the Easter weekend. And now she's heading back for another week of training over in California. So she was going to be traveling today. But our fill-in, our number one stand-in co-host, Lisa Wysocki, is here. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you for being our number one fill-in co-host. We appreciate that.
Well, thank you. It's just always a fun time, and it's just an honor. I love it.
Well, good. And, you know, we're going to talk. You got a lot going on in your world, too. We're going to talk about that a little later on in the show. But we have to go to Jennifer right away because we got a lot to do. Up, and Jennifer's on mute and doesn't know it. So, Jennifer, you need to come off mute to be able to talk to us. So let's see if she can figure that out.
Because I was shopping.
There we go.
You have to shop on mute. Yeah. Yeah. Not me. I wasn't doing it. Coming up on today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, it's Cruising for Horse People Day as we chat with legacy listener Rhonda. And she is also our official volunteer. That's because Glenn volunteered her travel agent or travel guide. And we're also going to be chatting with Michelle, the travel agent from MEI Travel, who's getting this all organized. And they are both going to answer all of the questions we never thought to ask about taking a boat trip. And after the break, the wacky world of Horse Nation finds Leslie safely home, or at least where she had cell phone service, following her 30-mile test hike. And we're going to get the inside story. So stay tuned for the break, folks.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. And now it is time. Time for our daily whinnies. Well, my daily whinny goes out to our new auditors from last week. We had Abby Bodertha, Jackie Rollins, and Aaron Granger are all brand new auditors. And I noticed that Aaron posted, this is funny because she's also a new listener, so thank you very much for becoming an auditor so quickly, Aaron. She posted in the auditor room over the weekend and we all had to chuckle. Everybody had a good time with it. Lisa, she said, now I'm new here. Are the really bad ads real? Bad ads?
They are real bad ads.
Yes, we cannot make that up. If we wrote them, they wouldn't be that bad. So.
Oh, no. You couldn't even try.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yes, that they are, Aaron, really, really bad ads. And you can find them in your local Craigslist. Every local Craigslist has them. So just go looking. Send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Yeah. And you too.
There are strategies, Glenn.
Yes.
Yeah. There are strategies to finding the best bad ads. If you type in the search bar the word farrier spelled incorrectly in any way, that works really well. The word trailer spelled incorrectly works well.
And I think if you spell horse H-O-R-E, you'll find a few too. So they always seem to come out. Yeah. So, yes, Aaron, it is for real. And last week, Lisa, we had on Friday, we had five listeners submitted where they read them and they were hilarious.
I listened.
Oh, did
you? Awesome. Oh, absolutely. Yes.
They were just funny. And, you know, pretty soon we're going to have all listeners submitted once. And we won't have to do anything. It'd be great.
There you go.
It's perfect.
There you go.
Less work for us. Perfect for us. All right. Your turn.
So my daily whinny goes out to a man here in Nashville, Tennessee by the name of Daryl Urban. And Daryl just donated a horse to the therapeutic riding program that I have, Colby's Army. And this is just the most amazing horse, Glenn. He is a part thoroughbred, part draft horse, and he is a silver dapple bay horse, which is kind of a liver chestnut with the silvery mane and tail. He's 16-2. He's just an absolute tank, and he is like the biggest puppy dog. And, you know, so many people could, you know, he could have like sold the horse, but he chose to donate it so the horse could then impact the lives of people with special needs. And so I just wanted to say thank you, Daryl Urban, for being a real stand-up guy.
You know, that is so important to the rescues, isn't it?
It is. It's important for rescues. It's important for therapeutic riding programs. It's important even for, you know, Girl Scout camps. I mean, if you have a horse, you know, that can make a difference in the lives of somebody else, particularly if it's at the end of the show career or, you know, whatever, it's just such a great thing to do. It really is.
You know, and just because they're done jumping 4 feet doesn't mean they're done riding.
No, right? No, not at all. Not at all. It might be done for you and what you need the horse for, but the horse can go on to have just an amazing career doing something else. And, you know, if you donate it, you know, you have to check with your tax people, but you can sometimes get a tax deduction, and it's just such a great thing to do. And I'm just amazed every time somebody, I hear of somebody donating a horse to a good cause, because the horse, you know, can then go on to make a difference. And when the person had the option to really go on Craigslist and do a really bad ad and sell the horse, you know.
How do you feel about a Hackney pony with attitude?
Well, like, does Scooter have a brother?
No, I was thinking Scooter, a Hackney pony with attitude.
Well, but Scooter and you are just such a team.
Yeah,
I mean,
Scooter's not going anywhere. No. He's staying here.
No, I just can't
imagine. We love the little guy.
Yes.
Even though he has attitude, he definitely has that Hackney attitude, no question about it.
You know, my mom has a dog. He's a Pinnie Pooh, a miniature pincher poodle cross. And every time I see him, I'm reminded of Scooter, because Rocky has that same attitude. And if Scooter were a dog, he'd be a Pinnie Pooh.
You know, one of these days you're going to have to get over to Florida and visit us.
I am going to have to do that.
You're not
too
far, Tennessee. Not too far.
No, I'm not.
You're welcome anytime to come say hi.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I really do want to meet Scooter.
Well, we are going to – let me do a disclaimer now. If you are not interested in the Horse Radio Network cruise and you're not a cruise person, this is the big announcement day. We already did announce it to the auditors last week. But if you're a listener and you're going, there's no way in hell I'm ever getting on a boat, then skip ahead to about 50 minutes in the show and join us for Leslie and Horse Nation. Leslie has some fun stuff to talk about today. So just skip ahead because the next 50 minutes or so, 45 minutes is going to be about the cruise and our announcements, and we're going to be going over everything involving cruising. So that's what we're up to today. And we have somebody to help us with that. You've heard us talk about her in the past. She is our legacy listener, which means, Lisa, that she has listened to every episode of every show, 6,100 episodes since the beginning of the Horse Radio Network. She's the only one. I have not listened to every episode of every show. She's the only one that we know about in the world that has done that. And she's also a super cruiser. So we have made her the Horse Radio Network cruise director. Her name is Rhonda from Canada. Hi, Rhonda.
Good morning, Glenn and Lisa.
Hi, Rhonda.
Good morning. Thank you for agreeing to be our cruise director. Should we call you Julie?
Yes, Julie McCoy, please.
Yes, yes, that's right. Well, that was her last name, wasn't it?
I watched an episode of Love Boat just yesterday.
Well.
Oh, nice.
I have it.
I was getting ready for today.
Jennifer put together an intro that I'm not supposed to. I'm supposed to remember to play. So let's play it now.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
Okay, that's not helping the people that are scared to get on a cruise ship.
No, not good.
That's not helping. Rhonda, how many cruises so have you been on?
I have been on 9.
Wow.
But by the time we cruise, it will be 12.
So, needless to say, you are an avid cruiser.
Yes.
And now, how many Royal Caribbean cruises have you been on?
Four.
Okay.
So, but it'll be my sixth.
So explain.
It'll be six Disney and six Royal Caribbean.
Explain to people why you like cruising so much. What is it? What is the appeal of cruising?
Well, we love the ships. Sometimes it's hard to drag my husband off the ships to see anything, but I like to get off the ships and see different things. And you put your stuff all away in your cabin, and then you go to a different place every day without having to pack and unpack. And you just enjoy while the captain drives the ship to the next place and you're eating dinner.
You know, that's a good point. We've been on so many trips to national parks lately, but we're always changing hotels or rooms about every second or third night. And it just seemed like all we were doing was checking in and checking out. So when we were looking at a trip for May a month from now, I said to Jennifer, I just want to do something where I stay in one place. And that's why we picked a cruise, is just what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we can stay in one room, but not stay in one place. So that's a perfect reason. Now, let's explain, before we get Michelle on from MEI Travel, let's explain why we chose to do a cruise here, a sponsored trip at Horse Radio Network, and why we chose to do a cruise. We've gotten a lot of people saying, why not do a dude ranch? Why not go riding someplace? And, or, you know, that kind of thing. Well, the first is food. Lots and lots of food. We'll get back to that. The second, I'm a horse husband after all. The second is the time of year. We wanted to go in February because most people that are in the north, one, want to get out of the snow, and two, don't have a lot going on with their horses. So that's the reason we picked February. If we went in the summer, then people are showing, and even, you know, even lower level people are showing, where, you know, the only ones showing are the higher levels down here in Florida in February. So that's kind of why we picked that.
Trail riding. Summer, great time.
Yeah, and that's right, and people are more, horse people are tend to not want to leave their horses when they can actually ride, right? Whereas in the winter, they'll leave their horses when they can't ride anyway. So that's why, kind of why we picked, we wanted February, plus we are traveling a lot more at the Horse Radio Network to different events, like, so we you know, we didn't have time later in the year either. So that's why February. And it's also one of the other reasons we did this, and actually Rhonda and I talked about this, we wanted it to be a vacation for everyone, that a non-horse husband or boyfriend could go along, that your kids could go along if you wanted to. And it's the reason that we chose a four-night cruise. It's short, it's not too long, and everybody can go have a good time. You don't have to worry about finding a horsey babysitter for too long. So that's why we chose what we did, is so that everybody could go along, your non-horse husband could go have a good time, and you still could hang out with horsey people, right? So, and I will definitely have a get-together for the horse husbands on the boat, and I'm sure that will be at a bar someplace. that'll definitely happen. But, you know, your husband is kind of a non-horsey horse husband, and, you know, he kind of fits this bill of exactly what I'm talking about, right, Rhonda?
Yeah. He may not have gone to a dude ranch, but he's more than willing to come on this.
Right. And you know, that's part of the reason that we did that. And it's just an opportunity to go on vacation with other horse people. This is meant to be vacation. It's meant to be having a good time, but you have something in common with other people. So if you're a first-time cruiser, going with a group of people you have something in common with is perfect. Plus, we kind of guide you through the weekend, and we'll talk more about that, or through the week, rather, through the four nights. We kind of are there to guide and help you along the way. So it is definitely, if you're a first-timer, this type of cruise is perfect. I mean, Rhonda, she's an expert at this. You know, we're going to Rhonda with questions because she's the one that knows all about this. And did I mention food? You know, the good food and lots of it, and you know, did I mention that, Rhonda? Just want to make sure I mentioned that again.
There's always good food.
Always
even
good.
For me, there's good food.
I know,
pickiest
Rhonda.
Pickiest eater in the world.
Rhonda will not eat anything. I don't know how you eat on a cruise, to be honest. You don't eat anything.
They have everything.
That's true. And but that's cookies. One of the things about a cruise. You can tell them exactly what you want, and they'll make it. I mean.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I mean.
That's cool. I've never been on a cruise.
You can order off menu. Oh, are you going to come, Lisa?
Well, I'm checking my schedule. I've got some things pending, so I would love to come. But I would not consider going on a cruise, as you said, Glenn, without having, you know, like a group of like-minded people or a group of people that I knew and trusted who had were more experienced cruisers. So this would be, if I do go, this would be perfect for somebody like me.
It'd be perfect because you get to hang out with us.
I know.
That's why. All right. Now, that was a perfect transition into bringing somebody on who knows a lot about cruising with groups. And that is Michelle from MEI Travel, which is a travel agent that's helping us get all of this set up, the Horse Lovers Cruise 2018 set up. Hi, Michelle.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, before we get started, I wanted to ask you about MEI Travel. Tell us a little bit about the travel agency.
No problem. We are an online agency that was started by my boss and friend I've known for 20 years. I've been an agent for 25. And she has started basically a Disney division, which is her passion. So we do all things Disney on one side of our office. And then we have a separate MEI travel side that is cruises, tours, packages around the world. So that's where the Royal Caribbean side fits in, is we do all cruise lines, river cruises, tours, packages, hotels, you know, things like that that are non-Disney related. So that she's been around for 10 years, but we've had much more experience than that, both of us about 20 years. And she just started an online agency and has over 100 agents working with her.
Wow. I knew it was big because every Disney cruise I hear about that are done by podcasters, you know, Royal Caribbean blog, Matt over there, Rhonda just went on one of those cruises.
Yep.
They use you guys. So when I thought about this, I didn't have any hesitation who I was going to call. There was just no hesitation.
Well, that we appreciate that. That's a great compliment.
Well, and if people want to follow along while we're talking here, they can go to horseloverscruise.com. Horseloverscruise.com will bring you to the page that basically describes everything we're going to talk about today. So if you want to go there to follow along, you can. We also started a Facebook group. Just search for Horse Lovers Cruise on Facebook. It'll bring you, we're the only one. So it'll bring you there, and that's a closed group where we can all hang out if you're even interested in coming in the cruise. We'll be doing all the announcements in there. We'll be posting a lot of different stuff about the ports and things. So if you're even remotely interested, then definitely become part of that group. So now tell us about the cruise that we chose.
So we, just like you said, we decided on a little bit shorter cruise. They offer 3-night, 4-night, 7-night, and, you know, 9-plus nights. And we thought, like you said, Glenn, based on your people that are traveling with you, that 4 nights would be great, because when you get on a shorter cruise, you're on and off too fast to really even enjoy it. So we chose the Enchantment of the Seas. It's based out of Miami. That's where it sails round trip right now. They do shift their ships a lot from where they sail, but this is where it's based. It's a Vision class ship. Those were initially created about 20, 25 years ago to have more windows, and a lot of them at that time, Alaska was the hot cruise market to go to, so they made a lot of these Vision class ships with a lot of windows that you could see through for mostly Alaskan cruises, and then they've moved them around. So it's a great, what I call, mid-level ship for Royal Caribbean, because there are some smaller and there are some much, much larger, as you know, in Royal Caribbean. I've been on about 15 of their 23 or 4 ships that they have now. I don't even know what their count is up to. So I've been on I've been on every class they have. This is a great one to start with because it's not too overwhelming or overpowering, I think, like their Oasis class, their mega ships. But they do have still lots to do. They have the spa, the fitness center, the pools, Broadway shows that you go to at night. And I just think it's a great introductory cruise. And we chose February based on what you guys wanted, February 12th through the 16th. So, you know, it's kind of a nice time of the year to go cruising because it's typically always about 80 degrees in the Bahamas and in that area that you're cruising to during that time of the year.
And it's right over Valentine's Day.
It is over Valentine's
Day. Oh, I didn't even think about that.
That's awesome.
That's kind of an extra bonus. So for getting away and, you know, making it special. And I do know that you have a lot of people that haven't cruised before, and there's always questions about, I don't want to cruise, I'm scared of being seasick and different things. And, you know, we always address that. It's, you know, there's always little levels of of those kind of things. But I think, like you've said, the best way to cruise is with people that you have an interest in, because honestly, when you go with the people that have an interest in something, the cruise is just kind of your docking station to be on, to be with the people that you're with. So it's, I think that part of it is a great way to start cruising, you know, to get introduced. You know, like Rhonda and I have worked together for years, and so she'll go with family on some cruises probably, and then she'll go on with groups of people like the Royal Caribbean blog to be with like-minded people with that. So it's a great way to start.
And, you know, the other thing, too, is we picked this cruise, this particular cruise, designed for new people because it has a port every day. So basically, yep. If you want to get off, you don't have to get off at the ports, but if you want to get off at the port every day, you're using the cruise ship as a floating hotel. You're going to come back on, right. You're going to eat, you're going to eat your breakfast and your dinners, and you're going to sleep, and you're going to go to the entertainments or the bars or the casinos or whatever. It's basically a floating hotel. If you get off the cruise or the cruise ship every day in port, that's what it is. So, you know, for those people that aren't quite sure, it's actually a good cruise to take for the first time because you can get off every day. Whereas the one Jennifer and I are doing next month on the Oasis, which is, what, the second largest ship they have at Royal Caribbean? It's big.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
Yeah. So we're going on that one. There's 4 days just cruising and only 3 days in port, which we designed it because we like being on the ship. So we like being at sea and hanging out and relaxing and, you know, not going into port every 10 seconds. So it is it is one of the reasons that we picked this particular cruise. So actually, it's one of the things I've done that I've actually put some thought into with the help of Rhonda. And I know Jennifer's shocked at that.
Glenn thinking, that's a scary thought.
Yeah. Actually planning something, it's scary to begin with. Right, Rhonda? So now we do have, let's talk about the ports real quick. Let's go over those.
Okay. So Nassau is the biggest city in the Bahama chain of islands. You're going to dock right at Nassau. That's one great thing that we're not going to tender at these ports. And tendering is where you would have to take a little boat into your port. That's time sensitive. You know, it takes a lot more time to do that. But we're going to pull right up and be able to walk off the ship in Nassau. You can walk just around the little area where they have right off the cruise ship. There's a little town, and there's a lot of stores there, and there's a lot of eating and drinking that you can do there in different venues, and you can take shore tours and off from there. You can see Atlantis right when you dock. The big hotel Atlantis is right there. So that's Nassau. A lot of people get off just to walk around, and then they come back on a couple hours later. Perfectly, you know, fine to do that kind of thing. Very safe. And then Coco Cay is their private island, one of the islands in the Bahamas that they've bought. So that is basically what I call your beach day. They've got a lot of things that you can do, though, if you're not a beach sitting around person. You can snorkel, kayak, rent jet skis, things like that. So there are activities that you can book and do there, but most people use it as kind of their relaxing beach day to just kind of hang out, and it's beautiful. They've done a really good job at setting it up. And then the last port we go to is Key West. That's just the southernmost, you know, city in the United States down in Florida. It's very eccentric in some ways. It's got a lot of really good art, museums down there, a lot of good dining that you can go walk around. And again, you can just walk right off and go to all these things, walking around the city and then walk back on the ship whenever you
want to. Let's be honest, Michelle. Let's be honest. Key West is drinking day. That's what Key West is.
Well, okay.
It's alcohol consumption
day. For some people, yes.
Yes.
Yes, but there's a plethora of bars right on Duval Street, and some people, that is all they get to. So.
But there's something for everybody.
That is
Every day, that you know, no matter what your interests are, there's something for everybody.
Yes. We're going to talk about...
And like Glenn said, because I've been to Nassau so many times, I don't get off the ship in Nassau because I've done Nassau unless I want to go to my favorite jewelry shop that is there. And sometimes I'll get off to do that. But that's kind of a nice day if you've been on cruises before, and some of your listeners may have, that it's nice to stay on the ship because it's less crowded on the ship to do the spa or to sit by the pool and things like that, too. So it's a variety for everybody.
Yeah.
Now, we are going to do some activities, some Horse Radio Network activities, although this is not a learning cruise. I know there's been a couple in the past. It's been years, though. And I don't know if you've seen these along the way. You might have seen them, Lisa, where people, dressage. I remember there was a dressage cruise a while back, but it was all... You're going to be in a classroom for three quarters of the day. They had professional riders coming on to give lectures and all that. I don't want to go on a cruise ship and sit in a classroom. That's not. This is not educational. This is for fun. We're having a good time. However, we are going to do some activities. One is we're going to have a group hotel and meet up the night before sailing. We'll have a group hotel. We're working that out with Michelle now. And a group rates at a hotel near the airport or near the docks, one or the other.
Correct. Yeah, and then near the airport.
Near the airport. So the night, if you come in the night before, which we encourage you to do, never fly in the morning of the cruise, because if you miss your flight or if it's delayed, you're screwed. So get in the night before. We're going to have a big meetup that night. Maybe I'll go to dinner together, that kind of thing. And then we're going to do a welcome meetup on board after we sail and before dinner, where we hand out everybody's wristbands and all the itineraries. And we're going to have a goodie bag for everybody, so with some swag. So we'll do that. We're planning on all eating dinner together too. So our tables will be together. That doesn't mean you have to eat with us. You can go eat at the buffet or whatever. You know, you don't have to do that. And then we two other activities. We have a pub crawl that's going to be led by party girl Leslie Wiley, and hopefully Denise, who is our guest wrangler, who's been to Key West about 55 times, and she knows every bar there intimately. So Leslie and Denise are going to lead the Key West pub crawl, and then we're going to send a shuttle or somebody out with a wagon to gather them all up and make it sure they get back on the ship. So one of the other things that we're going to do that's really cool, and we'll probably do this in the Coco K day. We'll have everybody come back to the ship a little early. We'll probably do this. Is we're going to do a horsey game show, which is going to be an hour of game show, Price is Right, Newlywed Game, trivia, where we're going to give away, have a good time, and give away hundreds and thousands of dollars worth of prizes, like we always do.
Oh, how fun!
Yeah. So I've always wanted to be a game show host. So there we go. So we're going to have a great time with that.
Dollars?
What's that?
Hundreds of thousands of dollars.
That's right.
I think everybody should sign up for this cruise.
Exactly.
And, you know, we have great sponsors who always donate prizes, so that's not going to be a problem. So there we go. That's some of the activities that we have planned. I'm also going to do a horse husbands get together, probably in the casino or something at some point. So we'll have little itineraries for everybody, and it should just be a lot of fun. Now, let's talk about prices here real quick. Michelle?
So the pricing, we have group space blocked, and in the group space I have so many cabins blocked at these prices that I'm going to give you, but you can always book into the group, and if there's a sale going on a particular day that you're booking with me and it's better than our group rate, then you're going to get the better pricing, so don't worry about that. And then once you book with me as your agent, I watch prices, so if there's a better sale 6 months from now that comes out before we've paid final payment, I can adjust that too, so...
Oh,
the starting
cool.
rate is $559 per person for an inside cabin. That's per person based on two people sharing. That includes also your gratuities. And what gratuities are is you tip people on a ship, like your room steward who makes up your room every day, makes your bed for you. He's lovely, or she, and makes you little towel animals. Those are fun. And then your people who work at your tables at dinner, and our set dinner time right now is 6 p.m., we're going to eat as a group at that. But if you want to eat at the later dinner seating, that's perfectly fine. You don't have to worry about that. So $559 is a starting inside rate. $621 per person is the starting ocean view rate per person. And then we do have balconies and suites. We didn't put those in here, but you can always ask me to price those out for you. I'm happy to do that for you. And if that's your preferred kind of cabin that you like to book, then we can book that, and you'll still be part of our group. I slide you into that. So don't worry about that part. That includes your port charges, your fees, your gratuities. It does not include alcoholic drinks. It does not include like Ben and Jerry's and specialty coffees. Those are extra charges. The drink packages, you can, once you've booked with me, go look online and you can pre-purchase those before you get on. Sometimes they offer you a deal, or you can get those the first day you get on the ship. So drinks, alcoholic drink packages are a big thing people ask about, but they're not part of this. So they are an extra charge. It does not include any kind of insurance or airfare. Those are extras. I can get you prices for both, or you can. Most people I encourage to do airfare on your own because your schedules, you'll just want to be more flexible in booking. Like we said, always come the night before if you can. If you can't, you have to be in by 1 p.m. the day that the ship is sailing out. If you're past 1 p.m., there's no guarantee you're actually going to make the ship because you have to check in and be on board at a certain time. So those are the lead-in prices for the group prices. I have quite a few rooms available for those. Once they're gone, then I have to do what we call prevailing rates. So the day that you're calling me to book, whatever the prices are that day is what I have to sell you at. But you'll get all the extra benefits of being part of the group and being part of being booking with us and things like that.
So I have a question, and Glenn, this might be more of a question for you sure. than for Michelle. So if I come and I cannot find like a friend to come with me, is there like a roommate matchup?
Yeah, we're doing that actually in the auditor room, and we'll be doing that in the Special Horse Lovers Cruise Facebook page. So they've already started actually the auditors kind of matching up with other people. So yes, is the answer to
awesome.
The question. Yep.
Awesome.
We're gonna do our best on that. We're going to run out of time, so I don't want to do that. Let's try and go through some of the questions. Rhonda put together the list sure. of questions from the listeners. Rhonda, you want to go through those, and we'll just rapid fire these.
Yep. Okay. One of the questions was, it's $500 for an infant. Why is that? And I think I know the answer. It's because of the port taxes and everything like that, but maybe you can expand on that, Michelle.
If an infant is, like I said, these prices are based on two people sharing. So if there's two adults going, an infant would pay less. They would pay a third and fourth person sharing a room always pays less money than guests one and two. But they always have to charge port charges and fees for anybody sailing. That's just a regulation. So that, unfortunately, what cruise lines have done is they don't really discount for children. They'll be charged at the third and fourth person rate, which may be $100 or $200 less depending on the sailing, but they still are going to charge them something. So, and that's just their rules. And since every cruise line does it, they just Royal Caribbean follows suit and they do it as well. So I know it doesn't make sense because they're not really eating, but they just charge.
Okay. And then there were concerns about how dressed up everyone had to get, or maybe they wanted to get dressed up. But I think on a four-night, there's probably no formal night, right?
Right. There isn't. And dressing up, I mean, they don't really like you wearing blue jeans or shorts in the main dining room for dinner only. So that, I just tell people, most people wear slacks and they can wear a polo shirt. You can wear nicer design t-shirts even nowadays. You don't have to wear formal wear, but of course if you want to be dressy and dress up, you certainly can, and there are people that like to do that because they don't go away very often. But they don't have really strict formal nights anymore, and you don't have to get super dressed up. They're not particular about that. If you do go to Chops, which is an extra restaurant there, they do have a specialty restaurant you have to pay a cover charge to go to. They do expect you to be dressier there. But if you don't go to that restaurant, if you're just eating with the group, don't worry about it. I think most people will be fine.
Let's be honest. Okay. When do we get to dress up as horse people? This is perfect time to just get all fancy and dress.
Right.
I bought new suits and stuff. I'm all ready. Jennifer went out and bought new outfits. Again, we don't ever get to get dressed up. We're always covered in poop.
Right.
So this is perfect.
So are you going to declare a formal night for our table?
I am. I'm declaring formal horse people dress-up night.
Oh, that could be funny.
No poopy shoes either. You got to clean your shoes off before you get on the ship. It's required. Now
that's my idea of getting dressed up.
No paddock boots.
No paddock boots.
Right. Okay, they wanted to know about what alcohol they could bring on board. Is that two bottles of wine per cabin?
It's so funny how that's always one of the biggest questions I get. Can we bring booze on board? You can bring wine or one bottle of wine per person onto the ship. It has to be in your checked bag that goes through a screening to go on the ship. You can bring like a carry-on bag or your purse, you know, into the ship, but you have to check your bag. It has to go through a security screening. That's where your wine or whatever has to be. Oh, no, wait, no, I'm reversing that. It has to be in your carry-on bag, so sorry.
Yeah, I think they have to see it when you're coming in, right?
It has to be in your carry-on bag, because if it's in your check bag, they have broken in the past, and they had glass and all sorts of things, so it has to be in your carry-on bags. Yeah. But one per person for the wine. You could bring a six-pack of beer also instead of the wine, but most people typically bring wine. You cannot bring alcohol like vodka bottles or anything like that. They will confiscate those. They will give them back to you at the end of the cruise, but they will take them from you. So it's only wine, a six-pack of beer that you can bring on.
How do you think they stock the bar? That's how they stock the bar.
Telling you, yeah. And they do, you will get pulled down, and what happens is they will call your room right when you get on. They will pull you down to look at your bag and say, is it your bottle of vodka? We're going to keep it. That does happen. So people think, oh, I'll get away with it. No, they really will call you and say, you can't bring on this bottle of vodka.
Yeah, so why is that? Is there some law that requires?
Because it's a duty-free law that, because they make money on alcohol on the ship. And when you're in the Bahamas too, I tried to bring a bottle of wine back from the Bahamas under the ship, and they took it from me and they wrapped it up and they gave it to me at the end of the cruise. They give it to you the night before you leave so you can pack it in your luggage.
Got it.
I thought I could bring a bottle of wine on in port. I couldn't. Silly me. But, you know, okay. I try and break the rules. That's what I try and do. I try and do everything to see how it works. If you break the rules, what's going to happen? So I can tell clients too.
That's why we like her. She's a rule breaker.
Yes.
Okay, Michelle, do you have the dates for when is the last date to sign up and when is the last date to cancel?
So obviously, the earlier you sign up, possibly the better rates you're going to get. That's typical of any kind of cruise. So, but you can sign up all the way up until the final payment date, which technically is the 29th of November. But I am going to push that back. So if you pay, it's a $200 deposit per cabin to go. Even if you have three or four people, it's only $200 per cabin. That is fully refundable if you pay that to me via a credit card. It's fully refundable until the final payment date. I'm going to make that the 20th of November just to make that hard and fast. So I have about a week of fluff is what I call it, in case you're on vacation, I'm on vacation, we miss each other. So the 20th of November.
So around Thanksgiving.
You could still call me and cancel around Thanksgiving, you know, but the 28th of November is a hard stop. I can't do anything after that. Once you go beyond a final payment on a cruise, you're in penalty with the cruise line. I have to pass those penalties on to you. And those will all be listed on your confirmation when you book when those dates are and what the penalties are.
And then the one other question we
have.
That's
why I suggest insurance.
On that note, you pay your $200 deposit, like Jennifer and I called you last week, and we did that. So we got our room reserved. Right. So I would say two things. If you think you're going to go at all, book a room. Second thing is, you know, pay your $200 deposit. Second thing, people were asking if they could make payments. And I don't know if you as the travel agency do that or what.
You can. I'm happy to do that for you if you want to pay, like, say, keep this card on file, pay $100 a month. I can set something like that up, or you can just call me or email me and say, hey, put $300 more down. And, yes, you can do a payment system with me one-on-one. That's not a problem at all. And
you know what I really...
I do all your payments for you as your travel agent, so you don't call the cruise line for your payments or to shift rooms. I do all those types of things for you, but you will have access to what's called a cruise planner, where you can go on and do planning for your shore tours and look at your drink packages and look at the spa and things like that. You have access to that with your booking number that I'll give you all on your own, and you can look at all that stuff on your own too.
You know what strikes me, this cruise is so affordable. I mean, $200. I mean, you know, and then you can make payments, and so it doesn't all have to come out of, you know, one lump sum. I mean, just about anybody can afford this. So I just think it's awesome.
It's a good start.
It is, yeah. It's a great way to start.
All right, and we've run out of time, so we're going to let Michelle go, but they definitely want to book with you. All the information is on horseloverscruise.com. All of Michelle's contact information is there. It's meitravel.com is their website as well. But if you just go to horseloverscruise.com, you'll find all the information. We did have one other question that just came in on internet. Internet is available. It's an extra cost on the ship. You're going for 4 days. you could get away without it. Plus, you probably find
buy packages for that, though. Yeah,
yeah, and you can buy packages for it. We have to because of obviously we have a radio network that might go haywire while we're gone. So, you know, we have to keep an eye on that. But if we didn't have that, I probably wouldn't do it at all. But we do have to let you go. Thank you so much for all your help in making this happen. Now you're going
you're
along
welcome.
With us. You said right.
I am. I booked my room last week, so I will be there. Yes.
Yay!
Great.
Excited.
Yay.
Good job.
I've been working with Michelle for about 7 years, and I haven't met her yet.
Yeah. I'm so there you go. There you go. Well, and that price guarantee is a good thing. I'm sure that Rhonda has found that, too, where you know, the prices have changed. And in all the cruises you've taken, you must have had one or two that have gotten better prices along the way. So... with everything you've done. Well, thank you, Michelle. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you. Hey, thank you for the opportunity. You guys have a great day. Bye-bye.
You too.
So we're going to take a break. Rhonda, can you hold on? Do you want to talk to the people from the stables in Nassau with us?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, can you hold on? All right. They're going to be with us in just a minute. Yeah. But first, we have to hear from our friends at Omega Alpha.
I'm connected to the shoulder bone connected to the leg bone, the leg bone connected to the foot bone.
The leg bone connected to the foot bone is a humorous reminder of how things are connected and dependent upon each other. But all humor aside, the health of your horse's muscles and bones are key to his overall health and performance. At Omega Alpha Equine, they know just how important your horse's entire musculoskeletal system is to his health and happiness, so they offer a variety of different all-natural liquid supplements. Omega Alpha Equine, all-natural supplements based on science to help all of your horse's connected parts stay healthy and perform at their best. Ask for Omega Alpha Equine supplements at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Very good, Jennifer. I hadn't heard that song in 25 years.
She pulls them out of the hat, doesn't
does,
she?
She does. I don't know where she finds these things. All right, next we're going to... There's one stop that has horses on the cruise, and that's in Nassau, and where you can go take a ride on the beach, and hopefully... I am going to have to call her live on the air here. We're going to have, it's called Happy Trail Stables, and I hope we're going to have Susan coming on from Happy Trail Stables to talk a little bit about that and the opportunities available there, as well as how they take care of horses on an island like that. Now, here we go. Hi, Susan.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good. You're on the air with us, so I wanted to warn you about that. We have Lisa, Rhonda, and myself, and we're so excited to talk to you today.
Yeah.
Yes, nice to hear from you.
Now, Happy Trails Stables. There's not a lot of stables on Nassau, is there?
We are the only one. Nassau is on the island of New Providence, which is 27 by 7, so it's a very tiny place. And we are the only public stable here. There are a few private owners, but we're the only people that offer riding to visitors.
Wow. How many horses do you have, Susan?
We've got 12 in at the moment. We're very small. Two of them are retired, so we've got 10 that actually work the trails.
Now, you offer, so like cruise day, when our cruise gets in full of horse people, you offer two different rides. You take six out at a time, right? That could fit into the day we're in the port.
Yes. Yeah, okay. The two pickup times are 8:15 in the morning and 10:45 in the morning. And we can take seven people at a push each time.
Now, you guarantee that they get back to the boat? Is there a guarantee there?
Absolutely, okay. Yes. The 8:15 gets you back to the boat around about 11:45. And the 10:45 would get you back to the boat around about 2:15. We've never had anybody miss the boat yet.
Good to know.
And you know, those that do have to clean the stalls. They have to hang around and put them to work. So now, Susan, tell us about the ride. What happens when our group shows up?
Well, we bring you out to the stables, which is about 35 minutes away from the port. It's on the southwestern end of the island. And we give you, we sign you up, of course, do the business, and then we give you a little instruction period where the guides pop you onto your horses and make sure that the equipment suits you, that the stirrup leathers are the correct length. For the newbie people, I'm sure your people aren't newbies, but for the people that we have that have never ridden before, we have to show them how to hold the reins, what buttons to press, etc. And that takes about 20 to 25 minutes. And then the ride goes out through the woods and along the beach. And but we advertise it as 1.5 hours, but truthfully, we're usually out there about 2 hours. They stop out on the beach so that you can get photographs of yourself and your horse on the sand, in the water, etc. And the horses go into the water about up to their ankles or knees, depending on the height of the tide that day. Okay?
Very cool.
That sounds awesome. Now, big question here. Do you ride English or Western or both?
We ride English.
That's what I was
Yeah, and we have a couple of horses that are in endurance saddles, which is sort of like the Western, but without a horn.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. I'm sure people will want to know that.
Yes, yes. Yeah. It really doesn't make much difference. But it's not a great test of skill. You're not going galloping around. The insurance doesn't allow that. But it's a walk and trot. And even if you've only ever ridden Western, you'll quickly adapt to the English.
Oh, yeah. And I have to say, I used to train horses in Western Washington State, and we were right on the beach. And if people have never ridden a horse on the beach, I mean, that's like a once-in-a-lifetime experience. You have to try it. It's just a phenomenal experience. Yes.
Yeah, it really is gorgeous. Yeah.
Now, I did want to say that one of the concerns that horse people always have when traveling to places outside the United States to ride at a stables is a lot of times the horses are not very well cared for. They're skinny.
Yeah,
and that drives horse people insane. So before I even talked to you and before I did a lot of research and I went through reviews of Happy Trail stables, and in a lot of those reviews there were pictures, and your horses look like they're fat and happy.
Oh, they are. They're our children. Yes, absolutely. Oh, yes. We got the TripAdvisor Certificate of Excellence for 2016. We have a lot of pleased customers. If you go on to rideahorseonthebeach.com, which is how you book with us, you'll see pictures of all the horses and our place. Now, we had a little bit of damage with the hurricane in October.
Oh.
Got a few roofs missing. Should be all back on by the time you reach. So, apart from that, you can see on our website just exactly how our horses look and how our places look.
Now, I know you're on a small island. How do you get your hay and grain and equipment? I mean, do you have to like pay huge delivery charges?
Yes. you have no idea. A 70-pound bale of hay costs here anything between $35 to $41.
Whoa!
Holy cow.
Yes, yeah. It starts off in Miami at $11, $12, and by the time it's been freighted over and we've paid the taxes, and there's a value-added tax that we have to pay here, and the brokerage, this is what it costs. It's
Holy
a very,
crap.
Very expensive. Very expensive. This is why we only have 12 horses. Believe me.
Wow.
Anything more than that, you're into huge money. The equipment, of course, we get it sent in from the States. The farrier has to come over every 6 weeks.
Wait a minute, Susan. You pay a farrier to fly to Nassau? What a gig that is. That's a good gig for a farrier.
Yeah. Well, you know, the good farriers are very busy, so you have to sort of wait till they're ready. But, there's nobody here, really, that's qualified to do much with horses. So if you're going to do it properly, you've got to do it properly. End of story. If the equipment breaks, you've got to learn how to... do it yourself. We used to have to fly over to Miami to pick everything up, but these days with buying things online, we can get it sent.
What about your veterinarian?
We have a couple of vets on the island who are qualified for horse work.
Good.
And we've now got equipment. We used to have to do x-rays over at Atlantis in the sea lion's x-ray room, which is big enough to take a horse. Yeah. And it had to be a very well-behaved horse because the room wasn't all that big. But now they do have, a couple of the vets here have got equipment, you know, for this sort of equipment, the big equipment. It's not really worthwhile for vets to bring stuff in here because there's so few horses, you see. Medications are another thing, you know, the medications that have an expiry date. And one of my friends here is a vet, said he spent his time throwing stuff away because he just never used it. And we have the teeth floated once a year by a very nice vet who comes in from Florida, and all the horse owners share the expense of that here on the island. She stays for about 3 or 4 days and just works her way through everybody.
I can just see that your whole life is just one big planning session.
Yes, it is indeed. It's a planning and a gamble. You've got to be a gambler to live here, believe me.
And you know, we when we run out of hay, we just run into town and grab a couple of bales. You guys can't run out of hay. You gotta have container coming in at the right time.
Wow.
Always, so we have to be 3 to 4 weeks ahead of the game. And if push comes to shove, push comes to shove, we can go out and there is an old cow farm not far from us that was growing a grass called guinea grass, which is very palatable. And so if push comes to shove, and a couple of times we had to do that, we send one of the guys out with the truck to go and get a load of guinea grass just to keep them going until the next hay shipment arrives.
That was my question. Yes.
Yes.
Does anybody grow hay?
Yeah, because hay just doesn't grow here at all. I mean, there's just no way. Doesn't do well in the tropics. Yeah.
I can see you flying to Miami and picking up a couple bales of hay and bringing them through the carry-on. throwing them up in the overhead. That's funny.
We've thought of it, believe me.
Susan, where can people book with you? Now, it is $150, and we had a couple comments on that, but I think we've just explained why it is. It is not cheap to keep the horses there. And I think another difference is you have fat, healthy horses, whereas some of the trail rides we've seen in some other countries, that wasn't the case because they don't feed the horses.
No.
So,
you know, honestly, if you go to these Caribbean countries and the riding is cheap, trust me, the horses are not good. Okay. Yeah. If you think it's getting a deal, no, you don't get a deal like that with horses. Yeah. And our price does include the round trip transportation to and from the port.
Good question. Okay. Yep.
As well. Yeah. That's an all inclusive price. There are no other taxes on it. We try to keep it down as much as possible and make it doable for people. But to book with us, you go online. You can call us directly, of course, but you go online to rideahorseonthebeach.com, to our website, and there is a booking form which you fill in. And we ask for Visa or MasterCard on this secure booking form. This is just to hold your booking. We don't run it until we see you. The only way we would run it is if you were a no-show, if we just arrived at the port and you weren't there. And it's fairly simple. It works.
You know what?
So far.
Jennifer said she just tried rideahorseonthebeach.com and it did not work. But we have a website called ridingbahamas.com.
Okay.
So you might want to check that other one. I do know Riding Bahamas works, if that's you. I think it's you.
Yes, could be.
Happy Trails Stables. Yep. Okay.
Communications here are very difficult. Things don't always work.
All right. Well,
believe me.
We'll check on that. We have a link to it also on our webpage for this, horseloverscruise.com. We have a link to it, so you'll find it there. And the booking, and Jennifer said, and the booking works. So everything's working on ridingbahamas.com. Thank you, Susan, for joining us. It's been a pleasure, and we'll see you in February.
Yes, and thank you for having me.
All right.
See you soon.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Susan.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right. Before we wrap this up, Rhonda, give us the sales pitch about why you think people should try the cruise if they haven't cruised before.
I think there's a lot of people that think that they're afraid of being on a ship, or they think they're going to be stuck on a small, but there's nothing small about a ship. It's not a boat. It's a ship. But it's lovely. It's lovely just to sit on deck and watch the water go by or to be busy doing things. I know my mother on her first cruise, it was 19 days. So she brought a book or two thinking that she never got to them. She was so busy doing other things. Because there's so many things to do. There's, if you look in the navigator that they give you every night before bed, there's things to do the next day that are, like, there's galley tours of the kitchen. We did that on our last cruise. Some are extra charges, some are free. And it's just really a well-rounded vacation.
Where they always have entertainments, and they have. We played bingo. Yeah. I can't tell you. Last time I played bingo was on the cruise 20 years ago.
But if you wanted to just and sit shows, and watch the water, you could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And eat. Yes. Did I mention the food?
Yeah, you can have whatever vacation you want to have.
Now, the food, let's talk a little bit about that. I want to end
Glenn,
on food.
Glenn, have you had breakfast yet? I mean, you're just
no. I want
to
end on food. Because you're literally like when you go to these dinners, they have a set menu, and you can say, "I want to try these two dishes," and they bring you both. I said to the waiter the first night, these waiters are unbelievable and entertainers too. They also sing and dance. And I said to our waiter the first night, I love chocolate. He brought me every chocolate dessert they had every night. So I'd like some nights I had four chocolate desserts.
Wow.
Yeah, he just brings them out. He didn't even ask after that. They learn very quickly, right, Rhonda, what you like and don't like?
And they will go, they'll go to a different restaurant to get the food that you want. Like there was one when we were on the Oasis, I said, there's no French fries on the menu. And about 10 minutes later, there was a huge plate of French fries that I was there with my parents and my in-laws, and the six of us all dug in.
Wow.
They were really good. And he just put them in the middle of the table, and we had French fries, even though they weren't on the menu. So, the service is unbelievable. They do things like the server puts the napkin on your lap when you sit down, and things that we're just not used to. But it's a little bit, there's a little bit of fun.
Well, plus,
difference. And then you get home and nobody puts a napkin on your lap.
Plus, you can go to the, there's a buffet that's pretty much open. What? Are they open 24/7 in the buffet or early morning to late at night? Yeah. Yeah.
They're usually 6 or 7 in the morning. It depends on when they're docking. If you're docking at 7, then the buffet is going to be open by 6 so that you can get eaten and get off the ship. If it's a sea day, which we're not having any, but if it is, sometimes they're not open till 7. There's also a gym. You can go to the gym first.
Pools, lots of pools.
Which we often do.
Saunas and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that Jennifer brought up and was brought up by one of our listeners is claustrophobia. And Jennifer is as claustrophobic as they get. Trust me, she is as claustrophobic as they get, and she didn't have any trouble at all because, as Rhonda said, it's a big ship. It's a big ship. It took us.
You could be outside the whole time.
Yes, that's right.
Not in your cabin, but when you're up on deck, you couldn't be claustrophobic because you're outside.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, I think the big ships too, for those people who are worried about seasickness, it's not like being on a little boat. I would imagine it's a bigger kind of a smoother roll than some of the smaller boats people might have been on.
Yeah, and my last cruise was so smooth. I was actually kind of disappointed it was so smooth because there was no. I like a bit of motion, but there really wasn't any on the last one, and we barely even knew that we were sailing.
Wow.
Matter of fact, if you stayed inside the inner parts of the ship, you wouldn't even know you were on the water. It's so big.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Rhonda, for helping us out here and for being our tour guide coming up on the cruise and everything you do for the Horse Radio Network. We truly appreciate you.
Thank you, Rhonda.
Okay, great.
Thanks, Rhonda. Take care.
Nice to meet you, Lisa.
Nice to meet you, too.
Okay,
hope
bye-bye.
I get to meet you in person someday.
You should come on this cruise.
Yes,
we're
going to convince Lisa. You watch. We're convince her. All right, thanks, Rhonda. Talk to you later.
Okay, thanks.
Horseloverscruise.com is the place where you'll find it. And also search on Facebook for Horse Lovers Cruise, and you'll find a special closed group there. And we've already had people joining that right now. So that's good. Well, that's all the cruise talk. If you're just coming back to us, we appreciate you coming back for all you non-cruise people. We're going to get to Leslie here in just a minute. But first, we're going to hear a little. I got so much crap for playing the Marianne Kennedy song Barn Cats last week to drive Jamie crazy. And it is kind of a song that will drive you crazy. I went the complete opposite direction. We have the lovely Fleur Megali from Switzerland with Find Your Way. And we'll be right back with Leslie to talk all about the wacky stories over on Horse Nation.
Spread your wings and fly. Jump into the sky. For the very first time, you're gonna leave your sorrows behind. As long as you stand on your feet, no one else can pull.
That's Fleur Megali. She is out of Switzerland. You can find all of her music at her website. Just look up Fleur Megali. We're the only one. You'll find it on Google. It's the only one that I found. So all of her music is there. She has a ton of songs, and that's one of my favorite. I love that song.
It's a beautiful voice.
And she's a beautiful girl. And that particular one was done to a video on horses riding in the Swiss Alps. So it was really, really, really a cool video too. Well, let's head off to our friend Leslie.
Good morning. Leslie.
And
how's
of course,
it going?
Wait a minute. I know we're not talking really about the Mongol Derby today, but I love the bumper, so let's play it again. I just love the bumper.
Horse Nation.
This episode is Do Try This at Home.
Leslie, I'm...
Failure is always an option.
Any result's a result, that's for sure.
Or not.
That makes my week every week. Sounds like I'm on Survivor or something. Which I guess I kind of will be, but. You know, Glenn eggs me mercilessly about this Mongol Derby that I'm doing, but I really am, you know, taking it seriously. I respect it. I respect also the fact that, you know, I could die. And I've been doing some training, and that's actually how I spent my weekend. Was I was just like, okay, I'm going to just go out in the woods. I'm going into the mountains, and I'm not going to come out for 2 days. And I planned this sort of like 30-mile hike.
Wow.
Yeah, and I thought, and I just was like, okay, I need to remember also that humans actually don't need that much to stay alive, right? Like, we surround ourselves with an awful lot of crap, but we ultimately, like, what do we need, like, water for sure.
Yeah.
Like, maybe something to eat, you know. you can go a while without eating, especially yes. if you got some, like, energy reserves in your trunk, junk in your trunk, like me. I'm not going to die of starvation anytime soon. You know, you have to stay relatively warm, you know, maybe some shelter.
Right.
So, like, I just threw, you know, a sweatshirt in a bag and a lighter and a pocket knife and one of those little cool little hammocks that you can just hang up, you know, between two trees, like anywhere, and some power bars and some water. And I think that was about it.
Wow.
Oh, a GPS tracker. And went to the Smokies, and I did one night alone and was hiking around, and then my husband met me. We sort of rendezvoused at a trailhead the next day. And I thought I made it, like, pretty clear to my husband that the point of this, like, the point of this journey was to, like, I wanted to maybe experience a little suffering, like, maybe get a little hungry, maybe get a little cold, like, maybe experience some hardship, you know, practice, you know, like, being a little underprepared or, you know, and so I meet my husband at this, our rendezvous point, and he, like, if I'm a minimalist, he is, like, he's, like, Boy Scout to the max. He has, I'm not kidding you, a 40-pound, like, you know, backpacking, because we're doing, like, backcountry.
Right,
I was,
right.
like, saying backcountry sites. Like, frame backpack with, I mean.
So you had, like, just this regular school backpack that you just threw a bunch of stuff into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's got it, like, loaded up to the max with, like, I mean, basically, you know, like, a French press and, like, cooking and, like, I mean, changes of clothes and, like, so much food. And I couldn't even, like, hardly, I mean, I was like, you're going to carry this. And I asked him, I mean, we got into a little bit of a row in the parking, this parking lot. I was like, sweetheart, like, I think, like, you realize you're going to have to carry this for, like, 15 miles, right? I can hardly.
Has he done a lot of hiking in the past?
No.
Okay.
I mean, we'll go hiking, but we don't really go backcountry.
Right. Hiking. Right.
Like, we'll go, like, park our car in the mountains and, you know, set up a tent and, you know, and all of our stuff's right there, but not really. Like, I don't think he really wrapped his head around the fact that he was going to have to lug this stuff around. And I asked, and I was just like, five times, I was like, babe, like, go through the list. Like, what can you take out of there? Like, it's so heavy. Like, we don't need all of this stuff, you know?
Did he take anything out?
No. He's like, you know, I've been through the list. Like, I've got everything. I mean, it's like prepared to a T, you know? Like, I mean, he's got first aid kit. Prepared to survive in the wilderness for a very long time. I'm like, okay, whatever.
He's going to be there like, what, 20? He's going to be there like 24 hours?
Yeah. I'm like, okay, choose your own adventure, man. You're the one that's got to carry this thing. And so we set off, and he's like, you know, he's feeling it. I'm like tricking along, like, oh, butterflies, and so pretty. And he's like, ugh. So, I mean, it's a lot of weight, right? And you know, he doesn't want to admit that I'm right and he's wrong, you know. But he keeps going. He doesn't complain much, you know. I just look back and he just looks like kind of like he's, you know, just one foot in front of the other.
Right.
I was like, I didn't mean for this to be like a dark night of the soul kind of like. and then eventually, I mean, it, you know, your body has limits, and eventually it catches up with him. His knee starts really bothering him.
Of course.
Because he's carrying. And this is intense hiking. This is right in the Smokies. This is up and down, and it's pretty, you know, it's pretty tough hiking. And, so at this point, I mean, he suffers through, we're about 3 miles. And I know it's like straight at like the last 3 miles, because we're camping on sort of the top of this, on this peak.
Right.
It's going to be straight up. And he's like limping. And so I'm like, oh, all right, fine. Switch out.
I was waiting for that.
And I carry this friggin' thing, this 40-pound, you know, yes, leaden concrete, yes, sack of concrete blocks on my back straight up for like 3 miles, like no kidding, like 3 miles, until, and then carry it some more, like every time we go uphill the next day. And I was fuming. I was like, I'm never taking you, like, so never taking you again.
Of your original backpack with your lighter and your sweatshirt and your hammock, was there anything that you didn't use?
I ended up not eating, because originally I was like, because Tommy, you know, he'd brought like eggs and vegetable, like all this, had this whole like cooking spread. And originally I was like, well, you can do that. Like, you're carrying that stuff. Like, I'm eating my power bars that weigh like nothing. Yeah. And, but finally, since I did carry the backpack, or his pack, you know, that brutal last stretch, I felt.
You were entitled.
Yeah, you know, I felt like, oh, I was ethically could accept his, you know, let him cook for me. And so I didn't eat. So I think I didn't eat a couple of my, like, power bars.
Now, on the other hand, was there anything that you wished you had brought that you didn't bring?
Not really. I mean, I felt like I I think I got lucky, like nothing really went wrong. And I did have a sleeping bag with me also, but,
I was thinking like a rain slicker or something, you know, maybe.
No, what I else? Gambled. I didn't even take a raincoat, cause I looked at the weather and I was like, it was like 0 to 10% chance. I'm like, I'm going to take my chances. If I get a little wet, like, good.
You'll drop.
Good.
All right, you know, Leslie, I have the questions. Did you bring the compass, and did you figure out how to use it?
There's the one thing that I should have brought.
Ha! It's the one reason you were going out there, was to figure out how to do the compass.
Extra batteries. Yeah, my GPS kind of ran out of batteries. I'm like, okay, well, now I know. So, yeah.
It's Lisa. She gets to carry a pack on the Mongol Derby of 11 pounds. That's all.
I know.
11 pounds.
So I got to like whittle it down. It's like, okay, what can you not live without? You know? So that's what I kind of needed to.
Well, there'll be no changes of clothes. You're going to be in the same clothes for the whole time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I better pick some clothes that I like and
bring extra socks.
Comfy
extra socks.
Extra socks, maybe, yeah.
Did you bring your flask of fermented mare's milk so that you could get used to that?
I should have brought that.
Where do you even get that here?
Shipped from Mongolia. Because it'd be fermented by the time it gets here.
There you go. Now, some listener out there has to know how to get fermented mare's milk.
I bet there's like some mare owners out there. They'd be like, you just get me some of that. Hook me up with that. Some of that. Just leave it. Just let it sit out.
Yeah. Room temperature for about a week.
Here's my address. Yeah.
And send that on over to Leslie.
Oh, gee.
Well, it does sound like you had quite the adventure and that you're not inviting your husband to be going along to Mongolia.
Well, I don't think he would survive in Mongolia without his like French press. Like, but I think to his credit, and I was a little bit sore at him for a while in there. But to his credit, I thought it was super sweet of him to, you know, I was prepared to go. You know, my original plan was I'm like, okay, babe, I'm going to the mountains this weekend, going for a real long walk. You're welcome to come. I need to practice suffering. If you want to come, you're welcome to. And he, you know, took me up on part of it. And that was sweet of him, you know.
Yes, it was.
So A for effort. And I think lessons learned on his part, too. But
yeah. So next week, his pack will only weigh like 30 pounds.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, us guys, we have this thing about food and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Well, before we run out of time, we actually did want to do some stories today. Alisa, let's start with the Twitter one. I love that story.
Those are hysterically funny. I'm Leslie, you come up with the greatest stuff.
Oh, man. Well, Kristen inherited the series, and she's been running with it for a long time. And you know, equestrian problems, hashtag equestrian problems has taken on a life of its own on Twitter. And she will, you know, occasionally sort of gather up the latest little equestrian problem-isms. And she's got some really funny ones.
She does. Yeah. Yeah, one of my favorites is Elegant Equestrian. Mm-hmm. Goes to tax store for new crop and walks out with expensive jacket, new belt, and forgot to buy the damn crop.
That happens all the time.
What's
give us some of your favorites, Leslie?
Oh, on that same note, yeah, it's amazing how. So another one, ripped jeans, refuse to buy new ones until completely necessary, but drop $300 at Smart Pack.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, and this one from Rachel. This is so me. I can so relate to this. I don't even take my backpack into the barn, and yet somehow there is hay in my binder.
Yeah. Hay everywhere.
No matter where you go, there's hay. It's just.
You know the one I related to was Julie's, where she said, "Yesterday I hit my head so hard on the gooseneck that my neck cracked, and I can't get it to go back." Oh. Haven't we all done that? Whacked our head on the goose. Oh
man,
yes,
that just gives me like cold chills just think about it because I really have done that before.
Yes. Yeah.
How about the university catch rider? I have a lesson tomorrow on April Fool's Day, but my equitation is a joke every day of the year.
Yeah. And so, Leslie, is this one yours? Are you Leslie and Lex?
No.
It's a different one. Okay. Okay. So, best iced coffee recipe, order one large hot coffee, bring it with you when you go to work at the barn.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I can relate to this one. I count down my steps to get off the people mover at the airport like I counted down my strides when I was a jumper.
Oh.
I'm forever like, I'm being like that's how I calculate the distances between like two points in space is like, I'm like, that's three horse strides. Like that's a three stride. That's an in and out. That's a five stride line. Like that's, you know, 60 feet.
Yeah.
I got to tell you guys, we watch. Have you ever watched the show Little Big Shots? The show with the little kids that that are, you know, have talent in something, and they do this.
No.
It's kind of a cute show, and they have some really weird stuff on it sometimes. You have seen, we talked about this, Leslie, the big trend with the hobby horses and all the shows with people riding hobby horses over in Europe.
Yes.
And doing jumping and dressage. Yes. And stuff. Mm-hmm. They had this girl on who came out, she was probably 12, came out in riding clothes, and she is a jumper, and they talked about her being a jumper. Well, she doesn't do it with a horse. She actually looks and acts like the horse on all fours and jumps a jump course. She's not standing up to do it. She actually has the movements down on the horse, and I got to tell you, it was kind of freaky. It was freaky to watch because her hands fold back just like the horse. And then when she actually jumps, she lands like the horse does. And she said, it's very hard on your wrists. And she was jumping like 3-foot jumps with that. And it was bizarre. It was truly, it made the stick horse thing look like something normal.
Is this online anywhere?
Just look up Little Big Shots.
Yeah. I have to see this.
Yeah, yeah, it was bizarre. Jennifer almost couldn't watch it. She was cringing the whole time.
Wow.
She was cringing.
Right up there with creepy clowns. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sure she's a lovely young lady, but yeah. No.
Right.
I don't know if she rides a real horse. I never got that far. And then we did watch a couple movies over the weekend. And which brought us to your next story, a Cowgirl Story movie review by Biz, one of our listeners. And Biz Stam tackled the movie A Cowgirl Story. And oh my God, after reading the review, can they make another movie about a teenage girl in some kind of plight that has to be rescued?
Oh, apparently they can. Yep.
Lisa, you're a writer.
Wait.
You're a big writer. Is there a place that you can go to on the web that says, I'm going to make a horse teenage angst movie, and they just send you the script, you change a few things, and make the movie, just put some new actors
there's
in?
There's not anything on the web, but yeah. You know, some people are just so not creative, and they just, like, recycle all of these programs. I was watching some not horsey's TV this weekend, but it was like the same plot for just week after week. It was the same thing, and I don't know, people just don't even put any time and effort into their creativity.
I think that's why J.K. Rowling became so popular, right? Because it was nothing but creative. It was, you know,
absolutely.
Yeah, you know, there was nothing there that had been done before.
No, the Harry Potter and this whole, you know, movie, the Cowgirl Story, is that what it is? Yeah. A Cowgirl Story. You know, you look, and I thought, oh, I've seen that, but I haven't seen it, but I've seen it, if you know what.
Right. You know, you've seen a variation on the theme for sure.
Yeah, and even to the names of the characters, I thought, can you not get any more creative than that?
Yeah, what's the main title character? Dusty Rhodes.
Dusty Rhodes.
Dusty. Oh, jeez.
Yeah,
but
Dusty Rhodes.
There was a like a teen or preteen show out where these girls went to the camp and they were all had some kind of trouble, but there was a girl there named Dusty Rhodes, I remember.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny.
We painted our living room Dusty Rose once.
There you go.
Well, thankfully, this is a straight to DVD release, but I think the gal, you know, Biz Sam that reviewed this called even that shockingly ambitious.
But if you have to see the next horse thing out and you just really want to watch it, it's probably okay.
There's horses on it. You could just focus on the horses.
Actually, she said there's not as many horses as you'd think. It's more about the girls.
Yeah, so, exactly.
That was one of the things she complained about.
Well, it is is, after all, a cowgirl story.
Yeah, it's her story. That's true. And the acting didn't look stellar when I watched. Sorry for everybody in it if you're listening right now. We apologize.
Pat Boone's in it. If you love Pat Boone, you got to watch it.
Who, by the way, I didn't know was still alive. Exactly. I thought he was dead 20 years ago. Pat Boone's one of those guys that you hear about and you go, is he still alive?
Because I know.
Yeah.
And, you know, he looks exactly the same as he looked 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Leslie's going, who's Pat Boone?
Do you think he plays like the crusty old trainer in this? Because there's always a crusty old trainer.
Grandfather.
Yeah.
Now, everybody loves Heartland, though. We had the Heartland people on, and Jamie loves Heartland. Our listeners love Heartland, which at least is well done, right? I mean, it's well done.
There's a great balance between the horse part of it and the drama, and there's always something new going on, and storylines are great.
By the way, speaking of movies, and if you love J.K. Rowling, and if you loved Harry Potter, and you haven't seen Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, we watched it for the second time this weekend. It is an excellent movie.
Really?
Oh, it is so good. It's J.K. Rowling. There's references to Hogwarts and to some of the characters in Harry Potter, and it's kind of just her next thing, and it is so J.K. Rowling and so well done. And if you loved Harry Potter, you will love Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Him. It's out in video or on demand right now, so you can get it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. It's really good. Definitely. Yeah. We saw it in the theater, and then we watched it again over the weekend.
Awesome.
Yeah. Aww.
Well, that's all the time we have, Leslie. Thank you. We just went over for the first hour the stuff about the cruise. So, and we have you down leading the pub crawl at Key West. So,
I'm looking forward to that.
Yes. Now, after your trip to the woods, are you going to bring the husband along, or are we going to have to find you a roommate?
Oh, I think you would thrive on a cruise ship.
Yeah, lots of food.
Absolutely.
Espresso, coffee. All they can eat food all day long.
He'll be fine on a cruise ship.
They probably have a French press someplace in the kitchen.
Yeah,
probably.
Sure they do. And you can get food sent to your room. He'll be in heaven. He'll be perfect.
Yeah. He'll be fine.
All right, Leslie, thanks. HorseNation.com.
You guys
thanks,
have a great
Leslie.
Week.
All right,
you too.
Take care. I forgot
she
to ask her if
so
she.
Fun.
I know. I forgot to ask her if she was stiff today.
Well, you know that she has to be carrying 40 pounds up a 3 mile cliff. Yeah.
Oh God. And she was starting. She was going to tell that story if her life depended. You know, she had planned that story. That was
oh well, it was awesome. It was awesome.
That was
yeah.
funny. And I could just picture the whole scene, can't you? And the two of them quibbling the whole way, passing hikers, and they're. And snicking at each other. And
see, now there's a movie. There's a creative movie for you right there. Yeah.
Oh, my. That was fun.
Funny.
Now, before we go, I just wanted to give a plug out. We donated to a cause for Colby's Army, which you can give everybody a quick Reader's Digest of what that is again. And I want to post this on our Facebook page. You guys do some neat stuff there, and one of the neat things you do is actually a garden. So tell everybody what Colby's Army is and how they can help.
Yeah, Colby's Army is named after my son who passed away in 2009, and he had wanted to save the world. And so his friends and my friends got together and founded Colby's Army. We're a 501c3 nonprofit. We're a therapeutic riding center, and we help people with special needs learn life lessons and job skills and life skills. But we also have an organic garden. A lot of our special needs participants didn't even know that a tomato, for example, grew on a plant. They just thought tomatoes came from the store. So our special needs people help our grow our garden, and then we feed hungry people in Middle Tennessee. And we're raising money to buy seeds and plants for our garden for this year. And people can check us out online. It's colbysarmy.org, and you could just go to any giving button or the giving page and see what we need. And I mean, even we tell people a $5 donation, you know, that's going to buy a really nice tomato plant. So it doesn't have to be a large donation at all, but it's going to make a huge, huge difference. It's just, you know, I tell people, look, just, you know, a cup of coffee or the equivalent of a cup of coffee is going to make the difference in the life of somebody who's hungry. So this kind of all just kind of grew. And, you know, if you just check out our website or our Facebook page too, it's just facebook.com/Colby's Army. And we appreciate any follow or any share. It all helps us get grant money and help spread the word.
We bought a few tomato plants.
Yes, and actually, our tomatoes this year are going to be sponsored by Glenn and Jen and Horse Radio Network.
Yay.
So we're going to actually put up a sign that says sponsored by, and we'll send you a picture.
Okay, good, good, good. And if you want to help sponsor some more tomato plants, you need to go to, it's colbysarmy.org. Right.
Hey, Glenn.
Yeah.
Army.org.
We've finally done it. The only way we are ever going to successfully grow tomatoes is by sponsoring someone else.
Yeah, we cannot grow a tomato if our life depends on it. So I'm glad we're not taking care of them. You won't have any.
Way to go.
We've given up.
Well, yeah, it takes a little concentrated effort, like daily. You got to kind of look at them and talk to them. You need to sing to them and talk to them. They like
that's
that.
That's the problem.
That's it. Yep. That's it. They heard my voice and went, "Duh, we're dying.
We're out of here.
We grow plants in our garden for the horses, too. Our horses like squash and watermelon and pumpkin.
Do you know what the landlords, she did, 3 years ago when we first moved here, she put a couple of tops of pineapples in the ground. And we actually had pineapples. There were actually two pineapples came up and they grew.
Really?
And we got to have the first time ever I've had like truly homegrown on our property pineapple. And it was tasted like sugar. I mean, it was just really
good. That's the thing. Homegrown food tastes so much better than store-bought, you know. And we do all organic. And it's like I can't even go into the store anymore and buy produce because it just doesn't taste right to me.
Do you know, as long as I've known you, and maybe you told me this before and I missed it, but I didn't know Colby was your son.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he had a lot of mental illnesses. He was my only child, and from depression and anxiety and anorexia, he was diagnosed with schizophrenia when he was 18 and was on a state-funded insurance, and they thought he was doing really well, so they kicked him off when he was 19, and he turned to street drugs and had an overdose when he was 23.
Oh, wow. That's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough. Well, yeah. I'm glad. Look what you're doing in his name, and look how many people that he has helped.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. No, everybody finds, you know, for whatever the loss is or whatever the grief is, everybody finds their own way to move forward. And this is my way.
There you go. Well, it's a good way. Thank you, Lisa. Where can people find your books?
Oh, in stores and online everywhere. The new Cat Enright book will be out in November.
Yay.
And the
Is
Horse
Jamie
Radio
killing Network. Anybody?
I can't tell you, but I can tell you that The Main Equation, which is the fourth book, is actually already up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble for pre-order, so people can pre-order the book and you know, find out all the latest goings-on with Kat Enright. And then Kat also has her own Facebook page now. It's Kat Enright Mystery Horsewoman, so you can find out what's going on in her life between books on her Facebook page.
Oh, that's cool. Very cool.
Yeah, follow Kat.
You can follow Kat.
Yes, she does. Yes, she does. And then I'm of course, at lisawysocki.com. So anyway, the auditors here, I have to say, are fabulous because they are so interactive and supportive, I think, of everybody you have on the show here. And everywhere I go to do a clinic or something, I always meet at least one auditor, at least.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. They do have a good time in there. If you want to become an auditor for as little as a dollar a month, you can head over to horseradionetwork.com. There's a banner there, and you can just go sign up. You'll become part of the auditors group. They've been having a wild time in there over the last week. They got all kinds of stuff going on, including picking on me. So that's part of what the pleasure you get in the auditor room. But they do get things first, and you know, they get to hear about everything first, new shows first. We got to do a cruise preview first. I know there's probably 20 auditors that are looking at coming on the cruise that I know about. So it's just a good place to hang out. They've all become friends over there, and it's cool when they get to meet each other. We're going to be doing a meetup at Rolex this year. A couple meetups, actually.
I heard about that.
Yeah,
that's great.
And we have that. You'll hear more about that this week. And then next week we leave, right? Jennifer, is next week. Wow.
Yeah.
Time flies. So, yeah, we'll be in Kentucky for Rolex, and hopefully it won't be pouring down rain and tornadoing.
Hopefully not.
Hopefully it'll be better than that. You've had some weather this year. Holy cow.
Oh, man. You know, for the next 15 days, we're supposed to get rain here in Nashville. But we've had tornadoes. We've had heat. We had one day it was 84, and the next day we had 3 inches of snow. And I mean, it's just been really, really crazy the last 6 months
and
here.
And some wicked storms coming through.
Bad storms. Yes, we had 4 inches of rain in one afternoon last week. and you know, lots of wind, 40 mile an hour straight line winds just continuously for the whole day. It's a little difficult to ride that day, but it was hard to stay on the horse. But yeah, it's been really crazy.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow with the Certified Horsemanship Association, and Jamie will be back here Wednesday and again on Friday. Remember, those really bad ads are real. You have to find them. That's part of the deal, is you find them and send them in to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. We do not make those up. If you want to record them yourself, just get your phone out, use your phone recorder, email them off to Jennifer. And we had a record number. We had 5 or 6 last Friday that were recorded by listeners, and they were much funnier than us. So that's perfect. So send them in. There's some great prizes this month, some books, actually. So we look forward to seeing you later in the week, and also reading some really bad ads on Friday. Thank you once again, Lisa.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
I see. I was doing all of that and blabbing to try and find the closing music, and I still... There we go.